The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, I've been rehearsing this for 3 weeks, so let's see if we can get this right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy 2022. I'm Randy Corcoran. So good to have you here as we continue part two of the Saturday Morning Live and local lineup here on 710 KNUS, the place where we take your calls all morning long. We've got the big dog behind the glass. Boss man Kelly Michaels is here training up some new blood. And I'm not going to try the name yet. Leroy Doggin something. Am I close there? Doggin Bod. You know, that's what came to mind. And so let's show them how it's done here. 303-696-1971. 696-1971. We want to keep it hot. And, man, I got to tell you, 3 weeks is too long to be away from you. I have just really been welling up with things that I want to talk about as I watch the news, as I listen to the silly Supreme Court liberal justices spew their non-scientific nonsense, and on and on and on. And before we jump in, I just want to say thank you very much to, first of all, of course, Jesus Christ for the day off on December 25th, and State Senator Chris Hulbert, who filled in last week for me on New Year's Day. And it's always nice to get a break, and it is so good to be back with you. And I really wanted to come in fired up, really wanted to come in well lit today. And it's just been hard because, you know, many of you know, regular listeners to the show, yesterday was the first year anniversary of the death of my mom. And so I lost my dad two years ago, coming up in March. So, you know, I'm a loner now. My brother died in, 40 years ago, be 41 years in May, on May 2nd. And so, you know, I'm the last of the clan. And I wondered what that would be like. And so last night, before I went to bed, I put up a little tribute to my mom. And it's short, and I'm going to just go ahead and read it to you because I think it'll, you know, kind of help me move on into the next year. And the reason I want to read this to you is because a couple of the comments that were posted in response to this post were just, well, I started my morning a bit teary-eyed. So here's what I wrote last night. 1 year ago today, I lost my sweet, loving mom. 2 years ago in March, we said goodbye to Dad. So the first year of being the last of my clan, my only brother, Christopher Glenn Corcoran, was killed May 2nd, 1981, almost 42 years ago, is under my belt. I always wondered what it would be like. And it's true. As you get older, you better understand the order of the universe when people die in the normal course of living and aging out. It still hurts, but unlike the accidental death of my brother, you know, it's not shocking. It doesn't knock you off your feet. Mom did not feel well at the end of her life. She was ready to go. She told me so. We played backgammon, a lot of backgammon and Scrabble. We traveled together once per year, and I usually spent at least an evening or two, sometimes overnight, with her in her latter years every single week. I don't begrudge her for leaving us, but I sure do miss her. Love you, Mom. Rest in peace. And I put up a picture of her from her high school. She was one of the high school queens in the court or whatever, and it's just beautiful. And so, you know, you write something like that, it kind of helps you express your heart and your soul, and then all of a sudden people start weighing in. And people from the far past, Jimmy Sangenberger on the way out, you know, I gave Jimmy his first job out of his graduation from Regis. He came to work at my law firm, no legal training, no specialized training, just a hardworking, super smart, ready-to-go, ambitious kid at the time, not so much a kid anymore. And he just jumped in. And my mom was working for us at the law firm at the time. And on the way out, Jimmy said, man, she was just the sweetest, nicest, kindest lady I ever met. And she was always that way. She was always thoughtful and gentle and tender with, you know, clients and people, especially if they'd call in upset or, you know, in my business, running a law firm, you deal with people sometimes in the worst aspects of their life. And much like my current legal assistant and often receptionist, Kara, longtime family friend, my wife's oldest friend, that first face, that first voice that you see in here can just make such a difference on how the rest of the day goes. But I was just, and of course, you know, my daughter weighed in and some family weighed in, and you expect that and you know it and you love the support and you love them so much. But an old friend from the past wrote, and I won't name her. I haven't talked to her, so I don't know. But this was really special because it reminded me of something. Your mom was a very special woman and made you a very special man. I will never forget when I met you. Your brother had just passed and you were stuck. You wanted to be a broadcaster but couldn't push forward. This was back in 1981. Somehow you did with God's grace. Not long after that, I was at the same crossroads when my niece died. Without batting an eye, you pulled out enough cash to put me on a plane to go back for her funeral, April 1982. I thank you for that. By God's grace, we both pulled through. Me with two kids, made a career in real estate. You on rollerblades, managed to go through law school. It's true. I studied law school on rollerblades. Just listened to cassettes and rollerbladed all over the place. From my house in Park Hill, down the bike trails, that back when they weren't just drug-addled homeless shelters, all the way down to the Platte River, out to Commerce City, or south to Inglewood, or sometimes I'd go south right from where I got on the trail and go all the way out to the Cherry Creek Reservoir, just hauling up and down, hours in the sun, listening to contracts and criminal law. It was a wonderful way to prepare for the bar exam and to get through my classes. But here's the thing that really meant a lot to me from, I guess first names are okay, from my dear old love, Karen. Although we are on opposite sides of the political debate, I will always cherish you as a friend. Happy New Year to you and your beautiful family. And that was a trigger for me. Sorry, little side there. Yeah, opposite sides, whatever. You see the turmoil that people have gone through after the Trump administration, all the lies, all the BS, and literally close friendships and families and working relationships coming apart. I've experienced that in my own law firm, people who did not like the, air quotes, political direction of the firm. Well, okay. If that's more important to you than friendships, long-term relationships, et cetera, that really identifies you for who you are. But man, oh man, did it touch my heart to hear from my dear friend Karen. And so thank you, Karen. I don't expect that you're listening to the show, but I will reach out. And then this one, and then I'll move on from this topic. Gosh, old family friends, people I grew up with in the neighborhood. Thank you, Kevin. But Helen Carson, listen to this. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know who Helen is. She's someone I've referred to often over the years on Saturdays or during the week if I'm filling in or whatever. Well, here's what she said, and then maybe you'll remember. I miss her emails. Our friendship went back almost 90 years since we moved next door to them in 1934. Loved her parents also. Hope to meet you face-to-face someday. Now, Helen, I think she's 90. She's told me she doesn't mind me sharing her age. She's been through COVID. She's just tough and such a sweet, strong lady. And she listens to the show. So I'll just say, Helen, I am strongly considering. Didn't have, you know, ceremonies for either of my parents because who the heck wants to do a Zoom ceremony? But I am strongly considering making my last motorcycle trip, maybe not the last, I have other family out there, but my last or my next Harley ride to Kansas, as I did every couple of months when my dad was still alive, and bring the ashes of both my mom and dad and spread them around their parents' graves and at some of their favorite places that I knew from all the years that we were back in the Kansas area. And I promise you, if I get a chance to come, you will be, if not my first stop, one of my very first stops. Love you, Helen, and thank you so very much. So, you know, you go through that, and we all go through it, and lines are full. Thank you for that. We all go through it, and it's the expected thing as you get older. You know, dad was, what, 92? Mom was just short of her 90th birthday, or what, was headed toward her 90th birthday when she died a year ago yesterday. So you know it's coming, right? So I'm sitting at home. I'm doing work on the computer and banging stuff out, motions and just junk calls, getting things done. Stayed home so I could listen to the nonsense from the Colorado Supreme Court, which, by the way, the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, which, by the way, we will dig into in some depth in the 10 o'clock hour with my friend and colleague on the Republican National Committee, Republican National Committee woman from California, attorney extraordinaire Harmeet Dhillon. One of her clients was part of the action yesterday with the U.S. Supreme Court, and she will join us at 10 o'clock. So we'll save, obviously, with full lines if you want to talk about it. We're welcome to, but we'll get into the nitty-gritty with her at 10 o'clock. So I was listening to the nonsense, feeling like, yeah, I'm going to manage, you know, this anniversary of my mom just fine. And I'm okay. I feel it. And you know how it gets. And I get a phone call. So let me remind regular listeners of the show about some Wake Up with Randy Corporon history. We've had a long-term relationship with a guy who showed up here one morning after my show. I think I was doing 6 to 9 then, so it was 9:05, and I walked out. And he showed up in his beautiful red 55. Oh, she'd pull up the picture. This beautiful classic Chevy station wagon, a Nomad. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. And he was one of those guys that would text in and didn't want to call, didn't want to go on air. But I sort of got to know him because we have this mutual love of classic cars. And he started showing up at car shows like the one that I put on or got to assist with putting on as president of Shenango HOA, and one of the greatest car shows in every summer. And really became friends with Henry. Henry, the Vietnam veteran. Henry with the Chihuahuas, and the great stories and the never-ending love of this country. And, you know, I always have a special soft spot for veterans, Vietnam veterans, because they were treated so badly when they came home, doing their job because of the leftist politics of the day. Set all that aside, last year with Henry, we went through the agonizing year-long slow death of cancer of his beautiful wife, Nellie. And man, oh man, they were in love. They were just inseparable. They were around each other all the time. And she got her diagnosis and, of course, went through all the treatments, and it was pretty advanced. And it was fairly obvious that, you know, the clock was ticking. And so a year ago on Christmas Day, Nellie passed away, and we memorialized her here on Wake Up with Randy Corporon because you listeners had developed such a relationship with Henry, and we were talking. We'd speak to them on the air because Nellie would smile and laugh if her name was mentioned, and we talked about her and the dogs and the cars and her loving hero husband, Henry. And so I'm sitting at home listening to the Supreme Court nonsense and getting through my day, the anniversary of the first year of the loss of my mom, and the phone rings, and a friend of Henry's, long time, close, I don't know how long of a time, but very close, you know, guy that I met when they came to the car shows that we were putting on or we were a part of, name's David, and he called and said, "Man, I don't know what to tell you, but day before yesterday, Henry had a brain hemorrhage, a vessel, I guess, a clot. We're going to get some details here in a second. And it hit him. He knew it. He called 911. He had the presence of mind to call 911. He survived the ambulance ride to the hospital, and he died there. By the time David got there, which was as fast as he could, Henry was already in a coma, and just like that, he's gone. And so, you know, I guess this is the reason this is important to me, and I need to share it with you before we can move on into 2022 and the politics. And we're going to be joined by Lauren Boebert here in a little while for a Happy New Year's hello, talked to my friend Ted Harvey about an event coming up in a couple of weekends that I'll be speaking at. He'll be there, and you're invited to. You know, we're going to get to all those things in just a minute. But I needed to clear this out of my soul. And when I heard about this, you know, Henry and I were talking about, gosh, next year's car shows and what we were doing to our cars and, you know, just stuff, just junk that that people who become friends and have a mutual appreciation for things like fine cars just enjoy babbling about. And all of a sudden, he's gone. And so, you know, what a contrast. Now, he was, I think, 72. So, you know, I'm 62 now. 72 is not looking so old. Look at Peter Boyles. He's what, almost 100, and he's still 100, you know, he's at 100%. So, you just don't think as you get older that it's your time. And I certainly, Henry was thin and active and, you know, sad over the loss of his wife, but he was keeping busy and doing things and staying in touch. And he had people around him who cared. He had 11 brothers and sisters. He came from a family of 12. And they're down to 8 now with the loss of Henry. I was talking with his older sister just a little while ago. But man, oh man, it just, it wakes you up. It smacks you upside the head and it reminds you, you know, set aside the COVID nonsense. And I'm going to talk about that before the show is over and this ridiculous reactions and the fact that, you know, everything that we sort of predicted and talked about in general, not every detail, but the general principles on how this was being handled and what we should expect have all proven to be true. But in spite of all that, you can just get knocked out waking up in the morning and having a brain aneurysm, for God's sake. And knowing it, knowing that you've been hit and calling 911 and not realizing that your life is over. And that was just shocking to me. And I don't know, coupled with the year anniversary of my mom, it's something I've been thinking about now for the past 21 hours or so. And I needed to share it with you before we could get on. And I'm so grateful that David Cortez, really someone who I think in these last few years has become Henry's best friend, joins us now to talk a little bit about our mutual friend, Henry Martinez. David, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. It's David Gonzalez.
I'm so sorry. If I don't write it down, if you listen regularly, I say it every week, and I'm very sorry.
That's all right. I know how you're thinking. It's hard for me to organize my thoughts. So shocked, and I just feel horrible about the whole thing. You know, this thing knocked me for a loop. I was talking to Henry the night before he had the stroke at 10 o'clock, and we had planned to have lunch the next day as we did every day. You know, he and I were inseparable. We had lunch every single day. We did things every single day because we're both single and we're both alone, so we had a lot of common interests, you know, and we managed to pass the days together and go through life, so the loss for me is incalculable.
When I was talking to his sister, and Beverly is the next in line, 1 year older, so, you know, I think you're always closer to the siblings that you came up with in the stages of life, and man, oh man, just an overwhelming thing. We all know we're going someday, but Henry was to look at him anyway, and I know he was sad and struggling because he loved Nellie so much. We lived all that with him on the air here with our audience. But
no, he never got over that, Randy. He mourned her. He just never got over it.
No.
Well, I mean,
he wouldn't expect
him
to.
Especially 1 year after her death on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about that on Christmas Day this year.
Yeah, I talked to him too.
Yeah, and how bad he felt about it and how much he remembered her. And we went over the details of her last day with him, because he and I had never really talked specifically about what happened that day. And it was just really sad.
Yeah.
We did have Christmas Eve. We did have dinner together. We went out to dinner, he and I. And he was happy, I mean, to be together. You know, we talked about a lot of stuff that we never in a million years imagined that it would be over within just a few days.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, no, he was a good guy. He was easy to talk to, and there's just so many common interests that I had with him. But what I was talking about is the last time I saw him in person, he just looked great. I knew he was sad. I could hear it. I could feel it. But he was, you know, he wasn't overweight. I don't know what his health situation was, but he looked good. And so the shock to me is, man, you can do everything right. You can take care of yourself. You can, but you know, plan ahead. You can whatever, and just wake up one morning and boom, your bell is rung. And it was just shocking to me. And so, David, I know you're going to keep me posted on, and I'll be talking with Beverly this afternoon some more, but I know we'll know when there are services, and there may be some listeners here who followed Henry and Nellie's story last year, especially, and just fell in love with him and the unbelievable love that he had for her. That may want to know if there's an open, you know, service of some kind. I know you'll let me know. And if it, you know, if it's after a Saturday show, I'll make sure that we invite others if that's what the family and you guys decide. I've got to get to the break. Is there any last thing you'd like to mention about Henry today? And we'll have you back to finish this conversation as well.
Okay. You know, one of the comments I want to make is that he had a wonderful family. He had his family is just a top flight family, and he meant a lot to them. And Henry, you know, will with me. I mean, I can't forget it. I won't forget him.
Yeah, he was a class individual, and I'm looking forward to getting to know the family. It's ridiculous that it has to be because of this, but thank you for thinking of me to call yesterday and letting me be a part of mourning the loss of our mutual friend. And I'm very sorry for your loss too. It sounds like you guys were really spending the time.
You know,
time
I knew
together.
Him for 22 years. We've been hanging around together.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I look around at some of my childhood friends and stuff. We're all getting up there, and some of them aren't very healthy. And, you just know it's coming, you know. And all right. Well, God bless you, man. Have a good weekend. I will be seeing you soon. I will definitely do anything I can to help everybody move through this. And
we appreciate that.
Thank you again.
Man,
thank
you. You know, he thought the world of you.
Well, the feeling was mutual, and I appreciate that you guys listened to the show. And we'll keep up the We'll continue to do the car show thing in his honor as life moves forward. You and I can maybe have a sit down sometime and plan ahead.
Anytime.
God bless you, David.
I'm available.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
David,
bye-bye.
David Gonzalez. And love to Beverly and all of the Martinez family. And that's it. I'm not going to spend any more time on any of this maudlin stuff. We're going to fire this baby up. It's 2022. There is so much to do, so much to talk about. We've got full lines. I'm asking everyone to be patient because when we come back, we're going to spend just a few minutes with my good buddy, former Colorado State Senator Ted Harvey, the founder of the Committee to Defeat the President. And he's got a great event coming up that we'll let you know about. Also tell you about the Arapaho Tea Party coming up on Tuesday, how you can get your free tickets. Lauren Boebert joins us here in about 20 minutes, and man, so much more. Busy show for you today. Hang in there. Thank you. Wake up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS. Sure is, and we're back at 928. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, back for another year here on 710 KNUS. Apparently, you are up and at them as well. We've got full lines. We're going to get to your calls here in just a minute. This segment, I promise. But before we do, I'm a good buddy, Ted Harvey. Man, oh, man, I just learned so much from this guy and have been exposed to things that I just don't think I would have been involved with or learned about in Washington, D.C. and other places, and especially with regard to Colorado politics. There's just nobody better than my next guest, former State Senator and founder of the Committee to Defeat the President, local hero to me, Ted Harvey. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you're up in Spokane, so what are you doing up there?
You know, I fly all over the country working with grassroots activists, training them on how to be effective in politics. So I'm teaching a class up here this morning, and it's pretty chilly up in Spokane. I've never been here. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Global warming's a bitch, man. It's just it's just something. Do you know Biden? Good God. Do you know what Biden said when he came to comfort the fire victims yesterday here in Colorado?
My house got struck by lightning and almost burnt down too.
No, but it's worse than that. This is how he stumbled his way up. Oh, he did?
Yes.
Good God. Well, I didn't listen to it, but I found this clip, and he stumbled up to the podium. He fumbled with his mask. He looks like a doting old fool. And here was the first thing out of his mouth.
Hey, folks, we're about to pick the basketball teams right now, so I have your first pick.
And then he smiled like that was such a funny joke. He's walking up to address
people about?
Who lost. I have no idea, but he lost people who lost everything there to hear words of comfort, inspiration. Here's the support we're going to give. And maybe he got into that. Maybe whoever wrote it for him, put that on the teleprompter, and maybe he was able to get through the entire series of comments. But that's how he opened it up, with a dumb, ignorant, not funny joke. He's just the worst I've ever seen. The worst.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. At a time when, how 1,000 families have lost everything,
exactly,
and the president comes to town to make stupid jokes.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's who he is. It's where we are in the country.
It is. Well, we're going to have you on the show a lot between now and the midterm, certainly a lot between now and the presidential election of 2024, and we get into the weeds quite often. But today I've got you on for a very special reason, and I thank you so much for inviting me to speak at this event. My whole family has been through the flu Rona now during the break, and it was convenient that my office was closed for 10 days between Christmas and New Year's, with the weekends on both ends and everything. But as sick as a dog, the nausea, the vomiting, then the fevers and the sweats and just everything, the worst kind of flus ever, now known as the flu Rona. And here's what I'm finding so fascinating. I've got lawyers that I know. I've got cases coming up that are being continued or arrangements are being made. Every single one of them fully vaccinated, fully boosted, all dealing with the flu Rona. And so now they all have to live with whatever the potential side effects may be for folks who got vaccinated down the road. And they've got virtually no protection at all, in spite of what Sotomayor said yesterday and a judge said to me in a court case earlier this week. The facts do not support that these vaccines will do anything to help, and I shouldn't say won't do anything, but it's not a significant protection against anything in order to justify the risk of this drug that they wanted, 70 years to release the test studies on? The judge ordered it, gave them 8, for God's sake? This is disgusting.
And why are we doing 8?
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
So stop COVID-19 vaccine mandates Sunday, January 23rd at 1 p.m., west steps of the state capitol. Pray for good weather. Show up regardless. Tell us about it.
Well, I thank you for having me on. I thank you for agreeing to be a part of the program. I encourage everybody to watch the Joe Rogan podcast with Dr. Robert Malone. It's a 3-hour podcast. Sit down and listen to it, an hour at a time or whatever. But I think it's probably the most important conversation that has been had over the last 2 years regarding this issue. And they go into every single issue across the board. And I listened to that, and I was like, this is outrageous what is going on in our country, whether it's from the destruction of medicine, whether it's the destruction of science or journalism. The push and the narrative, the effort to try to brainwash the American people to be afraid of the coronavirus and click their heels and get in line and follow these crazy mandates, is irrational. And I listened to that and I was like, I've got to do something. And I'm frustrated as heck that the leaders in our state, specifically the Republican leaders in our state, whether it's from Congress or the state legislature, are not rising up and pushing back against the federal mandates, but also standing up and pushing back for our state employees and our National Guardsmen that are being forced to take this vaccine in order to keep their jobs. And so I decided that Dr. Malone and a national organization are having a rally on the U.S. Capitol on January 23rd to oppose the mandates. And so I was like, there's going to be a lot of people in Colorado that can't make that trip to Washington, D.C. So I'm going to put together a rally here at the state capitol, same time, January 23rd, to join them in solidarity to push back against Jared Polis and his mandate for state employees and say, where is Jared Polis in defending our National Guardsmen that are literally risking their lives to protect us, but they're being forced. These young people, for the most part, are being forced to take a vaccine for a virus that they have 0% chance of dying from, yet the governor is forcing them to take a vaccine. And I just think it's irrational. Nobody's standing up for them. Certainly none of our political leaders here in the state are standing up for them. So it's time for us, the average Joe U.S. citizen, to make a stand and push back against these politicians and stand up for those that nobody's standing up for right now.
Ted Harvey, I've got full lines and a tight clock today. The website is stopthemandatescolorado.com, stopthemandatescolorado.com. I will mention this every single hour that I'm on the air, certainly on this show, and if I do any fill-in work or whatever. And we'll get it up on social media. We'll have you back next week. I hope we can turn out a peaceful, impassioned mob of freedom lovers who know as time goes on, the nonsense is exposing itself. Appreciate you so much, my friend. We still haven't done the burger or the beer, and I hold you entirely responsible for both. So I'll see you when you get back into town.
All right. You're awesome, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's get 5,000 people at the state capitol on January 23rd.
Love it. StopTheMandatesColorado.com. Talk to you soon, Ted.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. I promise calls this segment. Let's get to them. And ladies first here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan. That's the way we like to do it. Let's start with Brenda in Denver. Brenda, Happy New Year. Welcome to 710.
Happy New Year, Randy. You know, I was going to start with saying thank you so much for everything you do. But then you told me about Henry, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then I just busted out crying. I loved his calls, and he will be missed. And it will be very nice to hear if there's something public that goes on. But I recall when your father died and how much it helped me, because it was about the same time my mommy died on my birthday, October 15th, 2020. Mm. I'm not kidding. The woman waited till my birthday.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Moms know. I'm telling you, yeah. She stuck around. That woman didn't open her eyes for like 2 weeks, but she knew.
Yeah.
And 5 hours into my birthday, she passed. But she was suffering. She hadn't opened her eyes in like, 2 weeks or something. And it was time for the Lord to take her.
Sure.
So this is the first year. And I don't know why this one hit me the hardest. Maybe it was because thinking she was going to come back in a year. I don't know. But the first year hit me really hard.
Well, you heard David, you heard David talking about Henry and not getting over the loss of Nellie, his wife. It had only been a year, and it's just it's unreasonable to expect ourselves to just simply adapt. You know, it's been 41 years since my brother was killed, and it's still when his birthday rolls around. It's New Year's Eve. I'm supposed to be happy, and I am, but, you just have that, there's that pall over everything. So
that pain is always there. Yeah. There's something special about moms, too.
Yes.
But it's also funny because, like you, I have my mom's high school picture from 1959 up on the wall.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it's just crazy. I put her last picture plus that picture up on the wall, and I talk to him every day. People are going to probably think I'm a crazy cat lady, but I give her Christmas cards, birthday cards, Mother's Day cards, and I write in them like you did, like kind of sentiments.
Yeah.
And I read them to her. And I know she hears them.
Sounds healthy.
I know the Lord hears them. And I just feel like this is helping me to keep life in perspective, make sure that those people I love know that I love them, even if we might disagree. So,
Brenda, way to kick off the phone calls in the new year here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I thank you. Bless you for everything you do.
Thank you. God bless. A lot of people writing in today about Henry. Hey, Randy, you're in our hearts and prayers. Maria and I know how you feel. Okay, let's start over. You're in our hearts and prayers, Maria, and I know and feel your pain. We're so glad to have become friends with you, John and Maria Castillo, parents of Hero Kendrick, and just so many others. Ask Beverly if she has pictures of Henry and Nellie that you can post on your Facebook page. I'm sure many listeners would love to see that. That's the most regular texter and listener, most faithful 710 KNUS person out there, Alexa. Happy New Year. God bless you as well. Glad you shared it from another texter. Losing a loved one is always very tough. My dad died in 1966, my mother in 1989. Yep. It all comes to every single one of us eventually. Sasha in Highlands Ranch, good morning.
Hi, Randy. First, I want to say I was so shocked, and I'm so sad to hear about Henry.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. And as someone who was at their mom's side holding her hand when she passed away, it'll be 3 years in February. I know how you feel.
Sasha, before you get into it, and I may have to hold you over because I've got Lauren Boebert
coming
up in a couple
that's
minutes.
Fine.
But
please tell Arsid hi. I love her.
I will. I was with my dad 4 days after he announced his decision that, you know, he was ready. 4 days we were together alone for the most part in his room. It was COVID, so they wouldn't let anybody else up there. And so I was with him when he passed away.
It's just an eerie feeling, but it's a great gift.
Last year I was in Florida when they called and said, hey, man, it's time to come home. I was at my first RNC National Committee
meeting. I remember
that. So I flew home, got to the hospital, talked to my mom, verified that she did not want to keep treating or anything. She was very uncomfortable and unhappy and was literally ready to pass. So we made those arrangements. They moved her to the hospice center. I met the ambulance there. She was asleep. So I went in, made sure they got her all tucked in and everything, and I thought, okay, you know, I've been flying across the country. I'm tired. With my dad, it took 3 or 4 days, so I've got some time. I'm going to go home, shower up, and then pack a day bag so I can come back and just stay with my mom until she passes. And I was driving to the hospice center, and I was 12 minutes away. I had I was using the map to get there. I was 12 minutes away when they called and said that she's passed. I will never forgive myself for not being at her side holding her hand. I was so frustrated that I miss, you know, and I lounged around that morning. I thought, I'll take a shower, have a little breakfast, and it's going to be several days. And so I'll take my time getting back there. And, man, that was a mistake. Don't take anything for granted is the
That's
lesson
right.
I learned. All right,
Sasha. But I do have something I want to ask you, so if I can hold on.
Yeah, we'll throw you back on
okay,
hold.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Sasha Highlands Ranch, she wanted to talk about vax mandates, and of course we want to talk about some of the nonsense. 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by Harmeet Dhillon, attorney extraordinaire, my fellow Republican National Committee person. She's from California. One of her clients is before the Supreme Court in the nonsense that many of you heard yesterday. So we'll talk to her about that in the 10 o'clock hour. But when we come back, man, oh, man, there's just nobody I love anymore. I'm so grateful she's a friend. I'm glad I knew her before Congress because I can see her in Congress, the same Lauren Boebert, no matter the circumstances. And she wants to wish you all a happy new year. We'll talk to her next right here on 710 KNUS. You got that right. Harleys and hot rods, baby. From the time I was about 7 years old. All right, it's 9:47, about 13 minutes to go until 10 o'clock. Lauren's calling in on the other line, guys. Kelly, Lauren's on the other line calling in. All right, we're trying to call her. I finally just sent her the number. Call us! And we got her. That's great. Our next guest is someone who at this point needs no introduction. As I said going into the break, I'm just so glad that I knew Congressman Boebert before Congress, so that I can assess her during Congress. It is the same Lauren everywhere you go. And if you are on Twitter, and I guess we're all still on there because it's a place to go. I love that Getter and the Trump media is coming. But if you're on Twitter, go and check out the Representative Lauren Boebert page because this is her pinned tweet.
Somebody got to do it. Hey, let's go Brandon. I keep the drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey. Hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real. They just planted. Hey,
yeah, and turn that down a little more. If you can imagine Lauren coming out looking sharp in the white jacket and the wind's blowing, and she's just walking toward and up the steps of the Capitol. I just love it. Lauren, so glad to have you back on the show. Happy New Year. Good morning.
Happy New Year, Randy. Thanks so much for having me on.
I am sorry you're not having any fun as a congressperson.
It has been an eventful first year in Congress, has it not?
It is just incredible. And, you know, I wanted to have you on first so our listeners could all just wish you a happy New Year. There's no one that listens to this show except the three or four radical lefties who never have the guts to call in, who don't just adore your courage. I mean, you put God and country and family at the forefront of everything you do, and you walk without fear. And man, oh man, I don't know how we feed that spirit into some of our weak-kneed other Republican leaders out there.
Yes. Well, I think we've all learned that when you campaign as a conservative, you win elections. But when you legislate as a conservative, the people win. And that's what's most important. I'm so tired of people running in for Republican seats claiming to be a conservative when they vote Democrat light, when they bend to Democrat policies. You know, that's not working with the other side. When you only have an opportunity to vote on Democrat legislation, and because you've decided, okay, maybe this isn't going to tank our country tomorrow, it'll take 10 years, I'm going to vote for it. You know, that's when the people lose. And so it's really frustrating to get these self-serving, super woke social liberals who run as conservatives.
Without a doubt. And the left-wing media machine, especially the social media giants, are so terrified of messages like yours. I'm surprised you haven't been silenced, in, for instance, on Twitter. Your colleague Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I was texting with yesterday, is now off. Dr. Robert Malone, who, you know, the really sort of the founder of the mRNA technology behind these so-called vaccines, after 40, 50 million people listened to his interview with Joe Rogan, is now banned on Twitter. They're terrified. And the great thing is we now have, you know, Getter adding, what, 250,000, 500,000 people a day. The Trump social media network, which maybe you know a little something about, you can tell us if you do, supposed to be up in late February or mid-March. And the great equalizers as we approach midterms and another important presidential.
Right. Yes. Well, I am looking forward to that social media platform. We've seen Congressman Devin Nunes resign from Congress because he's going to work with President Trump on these issues. I know some of the other staff that are working on it, and I'm really looking forward to it because I'm tired of the propaganda. I'm tired of Operation Mockingbird that we see on social media, on our local news stations, on the mainstream media stations, and we need to get the truth out. We know, as I said on Newsmax this morning, we know that the so-called fact checkers are third-party opinion-based, and the red flags for so-called misinformation only go one way. We have a Supreme Court justice that were just completely wrong yesterday in the hearings for the OSHA claims here with Biden's unconstitutional vaccine mandates, saying 99% of hospitalizations are from the unvaccinated, saying over 100,000 children are hospitalized. You know, and we could go on and on. And so the misinformation only goes one way. They want to silence us. This is pure propaganda, and we have to continue to be loud to push against that.
Yeah, the actual number, I think, according to the Department of the Human Services reporting of children, not 100,000, 3,300.
Right.
A little mistake there. You know, you may just misplace a decimal. Maybe her eyesight's not so good. We're going to have Harmeet Dhillon on, my colleague on the RNC and the lawyer extraordinaire, one of her candidates before the Supreme Court yesterday, or one of her clients before the Supreme Court yesterday, to talk more about the fallacies we heard on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Is there a, you know, one thing I'm not hearing, and maybe you can be a part of making sure this is a message we take into these midterms. Everyone predicts that the Republicans will take the House. I think unless we just screw it up and go weak-kneed, that it's extremely likely that we do. Will we see a move in Congress to rein in this big tech censorship?
We have to. And that's why these elections are so important. That's why primaries are so important, because we don't want just a Republican majority. We want strong, principled conservatives in the majority who will actually do something. And you hit the nail on the head there. The only way we lose this is if we get weak-kneed, because people want to see that someone is standing for them. We are representatives of the people. We are their voice in Washington, D.C. And so if we continue to kowtow, if we continue to cave, if we continue to have Republicans like the 13 that voted for the infrastructure package that was the catalyst for passing the $5 trillion Build Back Better bill in the House, this is how we lose in 2022. So we have to make sure we are involved in primaries. In Colorado, we have the caucus process. People need to get involved in that. That is, in my mind, for our state and the states that elect candidates to the ballot this way, this is the most important part of our elections, because this is how you decide what candidates everyone else votes for. How many times have you received a ballot and you say, well, I don't even know who this is? Well, the caucus is how we know who we're voting to be on the ballot, and we can communicate their message the entire way through their candidacy.
Yeah, I tell this to folks often. You will never, as a voter in Colorado, have more individual power than if you show up at caucus, get involved in assembly, and participate in the primaries. You're
absolutely,
because such a small percentage of voters on both parties actually get involved at that level. So every action you take that influences the outcome at that level, it just magnifies your ability to have a say so. And you know, as a Republican National Committee man, I'm not allowed to take a position in primaries, but apparently some Republican thinks it's a good idea to primary you. So I
don't think that he thinks it's a good idea. I just think it's an idea.
I guess.
So, you know, we do have a very liberal Republican that is wanting to challenge me in a primary. But like I said, he has to make it on the ballot. Of course, he could buy his way on the ballot and petition on. And I think it's 1,500 signatures that he would have to get, pay people to get those signatures and go out and canvass and receive those. But I believe that undermines the entire caucus process. People invest their time and their energy to be the most informed voters in the state, and to subvert that and buy your way onto the ballot is a slap in their face, and it's really shameful, and it shows that you cannot earn the support of the voters in your area.
You know, every time I invite you on the show for 5 minutes, we go 30. So I intentionally put you on late in the hour so I couldn't do that to you again. We are nearing the top of the hour. If people, you know, want to support you and support everything that you're doing in Congress, your upcoming reelection bid or whatever, what's the best way for them to get involved with Lauren Boebert?
LaurenForFreedom.com. That is the best way to support me, to be in the know. Go to my LaurenBoebert.house.gov website and sign up for my newsletters so you can see exactly what I am doing for Colorado's 3rd District, our state, and our country. There are many legislative issues that you will never hear about because it's not printed in the papers. You don't hear about it on the news. But I have been working hard for the past year for my constituents and have had some really great victories. And I'm really paving the way for the legislation that we will be able to pass when we have the majority, when Democrats no longer rule us by 5. So LaurenForFreedom.com to support my campaign. And then please go to my congressional website, LaurenBoebert.house.gov, so you can receive those newsletters and see the actual work that we are doing on a federal level for our state.
Well, I know I don't need to wish for you strength and courage, but I do wish for you some rest, some comfort, some family time, and that everything that you hope to accomplish begins to unfold as we head for a very likely Republican majority in the U.S. House of Representatives coming up here in about 11 months now. Appreciate the time. God bless you. Everybody here loves you. And as I always end my show, God loves you, and so do I.
Oh, amen. Thanks
All
so
right.
much, Randy.
Take care, Lauren.
I love you, too.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nobody better. All right, we are at the top of the hour. Everybody sit tight. We now have an open line, 303-696-1971. Sasha, John, when we come back, we're going to spend just a few minutes with Harmeet Dhillon, who has a client involved in the Supreme Court nonsense that many of us were forced ourselves to suffer through yesterday. And we will talk about that next. Second hour ahead, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.